Hello and welcome to the Supersize Phys Ed podcast. I'm Dave, I'm your host, and I teach in Fort Myers, Florida. So welcome. So today I have a special guest. His name is Octavio Fierros, Coach Fierros from California near Los Angeles, and he teaches at a KIPP school, a charter school. And if you don't know what that is, we get into that and a whole lot more in this episode. But you know, I really enjoyed talking to him. I never talked to him before, and I just saw him on social media a little bit, and I had a great conversation with him, and I hope you enjoy it too. So here he is, Octavio Fierros. All right, so I am here with Octavio. Octavio, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, David. How about yourself?
I'm great. I'm glad to have you and finally meet you. I've seen you on social media a little bit and the PE Central stuff and things like that. So I appreciate getting to talk to you one-on-one and just have a conversation about PE. So thank you again for being on here.
Yeah, no problem. You know, thank you for doing this too. You know, it's a very good way for us to keep networking as PE teachers.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, that's why I do this, because I didn't have this my first couple of years of teaching. I didn't reach out to other people that much. You know, I was the only PE teacher in the building, and I didn't get a chance to talk to a lot of PE teachers in the community. And so I'm hoping this will help other teachers, and that's why I do this. And I'm glad that you're doing this as well. So let's just jump right in. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe just where you're from, where you're at right now, and how long you've been teaching, things like that?
So I've been I'm entering my ninth year as a PE teacher, but I've been actually working for with children in the educational field for 23 years now. And so before I became a PE teacher, I was working in after school programs, coaching and taking kids to field trips and organizing tournaments and all that. That's pretty much like what inspired me to become a PE teacher. So I'm pretty much like more than a PE teacher. I mean, I pretty much consider myself as someone who goes far and beyond, with not just teaching PE, but just also implementing physical activity programs and designing curriculum for PE. I have worked in charter schools, all my life, and I work for the top, one of the top charter schools, in the state. So, I've been doing a lot, physical activity involving, families, physical activity, designing student leadership through physical activity as well. And I'm doing a lot of clubs, for after school programs as well.
That's great. And where are you located? Los Angeles or near Los Angeles? Is that correct?
Yes. No, I live in a city called Montebello, which is about maybe 7 miles away from downtown LA. But I work in Huntington Park, where it's about maybe it's about 10 miles away from LA.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And you're kind of like me. I'm entering my ninth year of teaching PE. I appreciate that it's neat. And I was actually a classroom teacher for about 10 years before that. So again, not exactly like you, but kind of where you've been in the field for a while and just kind of found a love for physical education. So I think that's great. It's very admirable. And so can you talk about your charter school and some of the school? Well, how about the one you work at now? What is it like, class sizes, how many times a week for PE, things like that?
Well, I work for this charter school network called KIPP. It's widely known nationwide. They have over 200 schools nationwide. It's a charter public school. And just recently, they renamed KIPP LA to KIPP South Southern California, because we kind of merged with San Diego. So the San Diego schools are also going to be joining us too. I work for an elementary school, kinder to fourth grade. Usually, what KIPP does, their elementary they go from kindergarten to fourth grade, and then middle school from fifth through eighth. Right here in LA, we don't have KIPP high schools. What they do is once students get to middle school, they start getting them ready for high school by recommending them, the top high schools in the state or in the city, right? And pretty much the whole, you know, purpose of KIPP is just, you know, for students to not only go to college, but go through college. So, we get, people and, like counselors who pretty much, help, our students, guide them through college, either financially or, any type of support that, our students, need, they help them to college. So, which is a great, that's why it's, it sets KIPP, aside from other school, charter schools, they're very top notch. So it's great. Right now in KIPP LA, I'm actually advocating for PE. We have a lot of great PE teachers in our region, but we just like, any other PE teacher, we face challenges. We face challenges with, the amount of PE time that students get, right. The space, sometimes, we fight administration, to pretty much advocate for our PE program. But overall, I mean, KIPP, I think it's a very good, charter school network, to teach in.
Yeah, I was telling you beforehand, I read something about KIPP before in one of the books I've read, and it fascinated me. I don't know everything about it, but just I know it's very rigorous for the students, but it also is just looking. I mean, you really need kids that really want to be there, parents that really want them there. Mm-hmm. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. This could be wrong, but I know they get a lot of homework. They get a lot of work. Is that correct? But I know it's geared toward a big future for them, obviously.
Yeah, you are correct. KIPP is actually known, at least in LA. I mean, I don't know about the other, regions, but we are actually known for having long days. I mean, our students are there from 7:15 all the way to 4 p.m. Some students are there for 12 hours, if they are in after school programs, right? But our students are pretty much like, we train them to be actually resilient. Be very, have a lot of endurance throughout long days, because not even high schools nearby have those, those kind of hours, right? So yeah, for us to, be there from 7:15 to 4 o'clock, they're faced with different programs. We sometimes dedicate the last hour just to do just clubs and student choice, and type of empowerment for them, because it is a long day. Yeah,
but do they get, and they also get a decent amount of physical activity or movement? Is that correct? You're working on that.
as far as my physical education program is concerned, we go for 40 minutes. I see students twice a week for 40 minutes. So that's, they get 80 minutes total. They still do not meet the requirement though, for 200 minutes every 10 days here in the state of California, but teachers, the classroom teachers, they really love, the PRPE program there. So they actually contribute by actually doing classroom brain breaks. And so that way they can, continue to be active. We're trying to implement like a very strong recess program as well, where, students are also being, having, options for physical activity as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I was going to ask you about recess because, as I know you know this, but for the kids to be sitting around for 8 hours is obviously, or more, is not ideal. But with, with recess, obviously some movement breaks and PE, I think that's great. And I love how you're advocating for that more even. And I think we always have to, as teachers, educators, we're always kind of fighting for more movement time for our students. So I think that's great what you're doing. So can you walk me through if I walked into your classroom for the first time, like just walked into your classroom, what would I see from the start to the finish, and about how many students, do you see?
We have 30 students in each class, right? But again, keep in mind that, we're like in a limited space. So we have I teach in a multi-purpose, room. So it's what it is, multi-purpose, right? So it's not actual gym. And if the multi-purpose room is being used, I'm in the parking lot. Or if I'm not in the parking lot, I'm in the classroom. So it's, there's a lot of movement, and that's our actually, like I said before, as David, it's a lot of like, that's our struggle right now with space. But we make it work. That's what PE teachers do. We make it work. And so anyway, from my class usually will start off with, just in the beginning of class, you know, students know, you know, where to go as far as, you know, our warm-up exercises or our warm-up spots, right? You know, we, or even if we don't do warm-up exercises, we're just doing like a warm-up game to start off. So students already know, you know, they get in their personal space and we start, you know, doing like a, just a warm-up game that their students already know, just to get them moving. And after, you know, after that, you know, students, you know, I gather around with them and I tell them, you know, we, you know, the objective of the lesson, you know, for that day. And we do a quick, you know, engagement, you know, either it's a think, pair, share, you know, any type of discussion or any type of engagement that would, you know, pretty much, you know, get their, you know, knowledge, you know, on why, the why of, you know, of the lesson. And there are times also when, you know, we, you know, if we're working in groups, you know, students already know where their groups, you know, who their team members are, you know, because I have them, you know, sit in rows or in groups. And we're doing like a, we could be doing like a, you know, team building activity, or we could be doing any type of, you know, team challenge that, that, you know, that we do pretty much in PE, you know, like, you know, different types of challenges. Yeah, and we, you know, we could just be doing the, you know, the lesson focus, you know, with, you know, dedicating ourselves on just, you know, we're doing like, you know, throwing and catching, you know, and students already know how to, you know, get equipment, you know, how to distribute equipment. There's the good thing about our, you know, our school, you know, we have a very good, you know, like support as far as financially for our PE program. So there's no like waiting in line, you know, to get equipment. You know, we all have, you know, every student has their own piece of equipment. So, you know, if we're doing like dribbling, you know, where, you know, everyone has just pretty much like a piece of equipment to, you know, like a basketball to, you know, to do their, you know, activity. And then we do like a closure at the end. I just preview them, you know, like what's going to happen next, next lesson, or our students actually like ask questions just for, to check for understanding, you know, to see if they've made the objective.
That's great. I love it. The one thing I, when you said, you know, multi-purpose room. So how big is that room? I'm just wondering.
I know that the ceiling is low, right? And, you know, I mean, we can't do much of like throwing and catching too. You know, it's that's, you know, like the safety of, you know, safety comes first and all that. But as far as movement is concerned, you know, when, you know, if I have them, you know, just, you know, gallop and run and, you know, and our general space, I think they do have, you know, space, you know, for all 30 students, you know, to safely move around the area.
Right. Wow. That's, I mean, I love how you make that work. And I feel like as PE teachers, we're always either improvising or I don't want to say settling, but making do basically with our situations. And so do you get outside a little bit? You mentioned the parking lot. Are you able to come, go outside a little bit?
Yeah, like for example, like last year, you know, so our second grade students never got a chance to go in the multi-purpose room, you know, and that's because they, you know, their second grade PE class conflicts with lunch, and the multi-purpose room, you know, we use a lunch, you know, it becomes a lunch area, right? So in the parking lot, you know, and right now we're actually, you know, the administration is thinking about moving the parking lot. They actually bought a lot next door, which is great. So my space is going to get a little bit bigger, which is, you know, great. What I did, I found this curriculum. I don't know if you know about this, David. I went on YouTube and I found what was it called? You just type in on YouTube, you know, PE challenges, you know, and it's Spanish. They're from some Central American PE teacher, you know, that pretty much, you know, focuses more on motor skills and, you know, and teamwork challenges. And we started doing that, you know, like pretty much like, you know, how, like doing, you know, just any type of challenges that would require them, you know, actually to be moving from one place to another, you know, like it's relay races, you know, but a little bit more with, you know, focus on motor skills and stuff like that. So our second graders, you know, I mean, since we, you know, we're in the parking lot, is my model all year with them was, you know, if you don't sell it, they won't buy it. But the secretary definitely bought it, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. So, yeah, I agree. And especially in the beginning of the year, I like to do those kind of like cooperative learning or team challenges, team building, because if you don't have them the first couple of weeks of school, it's like, oh boy, it's just building that community is just so important. So it really sounds like you work hard on that. And
Thank
I
you.
mean, that's the way to do it. Yeah.
Thank you.
So what is CSPAP? What is that in urban school? What is that? Or I don't know how you say that, but or yeah.
It's actually, if you Google it, it stands for Comprehensive School Physical Activity Program. It's starting to develop nationwide. It was adopted like back in, I think, 2010, 2011, right? And the CSPAP is, like a model that has been used, to implement physical activity programs all around, I kind of call it like a 24/7 physical activity program, right? And CSPAP has five components. It has the physical education program. It has physical activity during school, physical activity before and after school, family engagement, and staff involvement. So what I did, I kind of like unofficially adopting that model into our school by using student leadership, right? And so what I did is I organized a club for third and fourth graders this past year, and we call them PAL, PAL, physical activity leaders. And so what our third and fourth graders do, they actually advocate for physical activity in the community, right? And I could give you some examples on how they advocate. Number one, they can lead recess activities, right? So actually, let me go back. We have an after school program for PALs, right? I get like about a group of 30 students, right, that not only physically active, but they have that leadership already, built in, or they need that motivation, in order to be, leaders, right? And so I train them, we actually do play, games, we do activities, but I train them how to teach those games, right? So what they do is, I could get like a group of one of those students, get like a group of five students to be leading activities during recess, right? Like, so they could go and teach the other students, from the school how to do like, beanbag toss during recess, or how to play a four square game, right? Actually using that leadership and coaching, with their peers, which is awesome. They actually, as far as the family engagement, our PALs, they lead family fitness nights. They lead any type of events that we do for physical activity with families, which is awesome. They I mean, I just like last year, they had like I had like about five students just leading a step aerobic class, with parents, and that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And then also I also, with those PALs, they go into the classrooms, with kindergarten and first grade students, and they lead like a brain break or a classroom, like a physical activity break, like a 3 5-minute break. They bring their speaker and they put some music on, and they have the kindergartners and first graders move, and right, and the teachers love it. That's where the staff involvement comes into play. I mean, we involve the staff too. I mean, the pals are encouraging the teachers also to get up and move as well, and they give them ideas too. So yeah, it's just this physical activity leader, program that I have designed, is through the CSPAP, and we're just creating awareness for physical activity in a city that I forgot to mention, in Huntington Park, which was at one point considered the city with the most, childhood obesity in the whole country.
Oh wow. Yeah, that I didn't know that. That is amazing. I hope like if at least so far, I mean, we've had a great discussion, but what you just said there was like, I hope anybody listening heard what you just said because I want to take that myself and do what you just did with the pals and that sounds amazing. It really does. I mean, and I'll bet it gives those fourth graders or the older students, I'm not sure who you use, fourth or third or just that yeah, the leadership responsibility. I mean, I know that the leadership is built into that kind of acronym, but man, that's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that you and when you talk about recess as well, that unfortunately, like in my school, and everybody faces challenges, I feel like everything gets taken away from them. Like they're not allowed to play tag because things, kids get too crazy or kids get hurt. They're not allowed to play football. I mean, there's just, I'm trying to think what else, but basically they're almost not allowed to do anything. I mean, and I feel like, man, if we had the kids really stepping up, the older kids, to help out the younger kids and the teachers, that could even help recess and other, it just, filters into the classroom and everything. I think that's amazing.
And it really, like you're correct. I mean, it really really hurts me to just, when the kids are asking, can we play soccer? Can we play basketball? Can we play, football? And I mean, we don't have the space, right? And I'm trying my best to go, okay, you know what? Let's focus on foot dribbling, or let's focus on throwing and passing. But then, the ceiling is too low. And okay, we'll come up with something. You know what? There's a solution to everything. And just I have challenged our students also to, to think outside the box too, and have them come up with ideas. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, so you want to play soccer? How can we do it here in our space? Right? I already know the answer, but do they know the answer? I mean, right? Let them, explore, opportunities and think about how they can, maximize the space as much as possible.
Yeah, I think that's a great philosophy to have. I mean, just, again, using what you have, working with what you have, and making it work for the students. And I have almost the, I don't say the opposite problem, but I have a ton of space. I mean, I have a ton. I have a big field. I have a track. I have a pavilion, a big pavilion, two basketball courts. Sometimes we have access to the playground. It depends on recess. And so my challenge is more that I have 120 kids at once or 130 kids at once. And so, I mean, we all have different challenges and we all, need to make it work. And, I love how you're doing that within in your school. That's great.
Yeah, you teach middle school, David?
No, I teach kindergarten through fifth grade. I'm elementary.
Yeah, and 120 at a time.
Yeah, that's about average. So you sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less, around 100.
Yeah, do you have an assistant or?
Yes, I have three assistants. I have three pairs. Unfortunately, two of them from budget cuts are gonna. I'm gonna keep the same number of pairs, but seniority wise, I'm gonna be losing two of my stronger coaches, and it gets hard because there's a lot of turnover and again with budgets and things like that. It's so then I have to start over with new assistants, and it's hard to get that rhythm going. If it was just but again, we all. I'm not complaining. I'm just. It's just one of those things. A challenge. It's a challenge. And it's hard sometimes. But I've been blessed with some really fantastic people working with, and so hopefully, I'll have the same coming up. I don't know actually who's gonna be my. I know one of my coaches is returning, but the other two, I'm not sure if they're gonna find enough kind of room for them. So, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, see, this is what's amazing though. I'm just, I love doing this because I love talking to people like yourself that you just sound so knowledgeable too about just in general. I don't want to say just the standards, but things like that where like, or national or worldwide, initiatives going on. And I love that you shared, you've been sharing that with, well, with me and with your school and your students. So, yeah, I think that's great. Do you have any resources or anything you want to share? Like, I don't know if there's a great book. It doesn't have to be PE, an app, a website, a YouTube, channel, and anything. A tip.
Well, we do have our own YouTube channel. It's
Yeah.
called Coach Fierros.
Awesome.
And our students, they go home and actually subscribe. And what I'm thinking about doing this year is using like a flipped learning. So students are gonna go party. They're gonna go home. Everybody has internet now, so they go home and they go on my YouTube channel and we could do just like any type of activity that is there and they could do it at home and then they pretty much log it. We're gonna be doing a lot of just holding them accountable, because again, like I said, I mean I only see them twice a week, 40 minutes each day. And so what are the students doing, to stay physically active during the days that they don't have PE? So I want to just, hold them accountable and hold families accountable. So that way, it's, that way they know how important physical activity is.
Yeah, I love it, and that's a great way to keep them accountable like that, and maybe incentivize their physical activity outside of PE class. So, yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I just think you have some great ideas and great things going on. You know, I'm in Florida, you're in California. You know, we gotta both learn from each other, and we can learn from everybody in the phys ed community. So I just think that's amazing, and I've really enjoyed actually having this conversation with you. This has been great.
Thank you, David. How long?
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't mind me asking questions.
Yeah. No. Go ahead.
Just be very curious because I mean I think that someday I'm probably gonna run into teaching PE for large class sizes, mm-hmm. and I think that in one of the interview questions definitely they're gonna ask you how do you manage a large class. So how do you manage a large class?
Ooh, I like this. Well, I definitely have to put in the routines and procedures like we were talking about, when they first come in. It's hard because we have, again, six to seven classes filtering in almost at the same time. We do have dots, we're outside, so we have a pavilion with painted dots. And so they will go to a dot, and right away I'll get them standing up, doing usually a song, like an exercise / dance song maybe. And, after that we go into our questioning, our focus for the day, our big question, things like that. Kind of like what you're saying, do like a turn and talk or some kind of walk and talk, things like that. And then we'll break into our stations. But as far as, I guess, I'm going to back up. Hey, you got me thinking. I love this. See, I love talking PE. I do. Well, one of the big things is either definitely the signals, our school-wide, we use Kagan, our school-wide signal is we raise our hand and say freeze please, and the students are supposed to be silent in three seconds and ready to go. I'll blow my whistle like in a pattern, or I'll clap, but just to get them, but they know they've been doing this for years. Unless they're in kindergarten, just keep it the same every single day. Yeah. The same. And yeah. I'm trying to think what else. Using music a lot for transition, or for when they're in the stations and they know when it stops, they stop. When it's on, they can use the bathroom or get a drink. Just it's all that, again, that culture building, but also the procedures, they know that when we're in the field, if I pull a group in the field and I'll tell everybody, I'll be like, okay, everybody take a knee. And I'll just pull out an old football thing here. Everybody's got to take a knee, or I won't start. They know they need to listen. I'm not going to continue unless, everybody's listening and focused, and, cause I want people to be safe and obviously have fun and learn. And, so I don't think that's your question, but then we break off into stations where I will assign coaches to a couple classes, or this coach will take this game or this activity. This coach will take for the day we'll split up. And at the end, we come back together for a little cool down, a little drink of water, maybe a question. It depends on time. And, I enjoy it. It's hard. It's not always easy. And actually the hardest part, honestly, for me is, well, it is the number, the class sizes, but it's the dismissal. We've been working with that a lot. Just, how they dismiss, how they line up. I know it sounds trivial, but it's hard because I got classes coming in right away. Like for the next group coming in, I got six classes coming in and six classes leaving, and it's not always easy. Yeah. And, just trying to figure out the best way, to do that and be safe again, and make sure everything's running smoothly. So, hey, that's a great question. Thanks for asking.
No problem. How will you incorporate student leadership, or do you already do that? In your classes.
Yeah, mostly with fifth graders. What I did, some of it depends on my schedule. A couple of years ago, and then I had it for a few years. The students that really wanted to like be helpers and be leaders. I had a film crew, and it's actually most of the games are on my YouTube channel, where they would like describe, they kind of like what you're saying, that there's my YouTube channel has games on there but the students get to lead those, or they would talk about them and then play them and show the different levels. Also one of my favorite things is in fifth grade, every year we do a sport education chukball unit, where they get to pick their captains, and the captains, they are the leaders. They come to me with questions, and I give them different tasks and, you know, just putting them in different roles that the students want to be in. I had kids be, you know, DJs and referees. And I want to actually do that more. The more, you know, you and I have been talking, that's my dog making noise. I don't know if you hear that. The more we've been, when you were talking about the PAL, I really want to do, and I've been meaning to do this more, like small group, you know, having like the kids referee more things and be, you know, more in charge of small groups. That's really my goal for next year. So I'm glad you talked about that because it made me really think about how I can incorporate that as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, that's the whole self-motivation, you know, for our students, you know, that, you know, they get to be part of something, you know, and, especially in a school where, you know, we don't like, you know, we don't have the space, but then, you know, they know that they have the resources, you know, we have the equipment, it's already built in their character, you know, because we actually focus also more on, you know, on our, you know, developing our values, you know, implementing our values. So it really motivates them.
Yeah, no, I love it. If you and I switch places, I'd have the same, you know, I mean, I'd be picking your brain for the, that's why I'm glad, you know, we've talked about this because I mean, you never know. I could be next year in a different environment. And so I love our little back and forth here because I love talking PE and I know you do too. So that's awesome.
Do you work for a district, David?
Yes, I work for it's actually a pretty big county. Pretty much every school is in my, at least size wise situation, not every school. There's a few like schools who are built like older schools, but for the most part, everybody's outside. Everybody has 100+ kids at a time. And, it's kind of funny because living in Florida, almost, up and down Florida, you see that where it's like, did anybody think to build it inside? You know, and not just the heat, but we get the lightning, we get, you know, the rainy season, we get all sorts of stuff. And it's like, it's hard, but it's very worth it, or it's well worth it. I love seeing the kids grow from kindergarten through fifth grade and, you know, and onwards, you know, just seeing the students, just got promoted to, you know, middle school, you know, I'm sure you're the same way, but seeing them grow and then they come back and, you know, or they, you know, I allow them on, or I see them on, like my YouTube channel or something saying, hey, I remember that game from a couple years ago that, you know, I love that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, students are, you know, like, you know, children, you know, and they're always going to remember their first PE teacher. You know, I don't think they're going to remember their classroom teacher. They're going to remember their, you know, PE teacher. I mean, I mean, PE is all about, you know, it's, you know, getting to know the whole child, you know what I'm saying? You know, right? You know, that's what administrators actually fail to acknowledge or fail to know that, you know, this is where they get to be social. This is where they get to, you know, work as a team. They get to, you know, also know and learn about their bodies, you know, and how they function. And it's just like the whole child all wrapped up into one. You know, we have been sometimes like, you know, known for, oh my God, we treat our students like robots now, like how to behave and how to enter, you know, how to walk in the hallway, how to enter the classroom, how to do this, right? But, you know, it's sometimes, you know, like I need to get, you know, I have to step in the child's, you know, shoes and say, hey, you know what? You know, this is, you know, these are children now, you know, and let them express themselves. And the best way to express themselves is in the PE class.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, there's you just reminded me, there's a teacher that she's actually moving this year, but her and I talked together for the past, you know, 8 years. And I'm talking like just a week or two ago, she went to Sweden and she was kind of posting on like some of the things she saw there. And it was a lot of, you know, the kids don't really raise their hand. They just get up when they need to get up and they, you know, it's not always robotic. It's very just fluid. And I'm sure that goes along to just, again, the culture building and procedures and not in a bad way, procedures, but just like kind of knowing what's, you know, what's out there and how we should treat each other and just building that. And I found that pretty inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, but I again, you know, it's the you know, going back to the student leadership, you know, I think it will make the job easier, you know, right? You know, as a PE teacher, because students are actually teaching themselves now. I mean, imagine, you know, training them, you know, when they're like in kinder and first grade, and by the time they get to fifth grade, you know, how they're, you know, gonna run the show, you know, so to speak, you
Yeah.
know, right? You know, and then, you know, it starts in PE, but then later on, hey, you know, I want to, you know, organize a, you know, a fun run, or I want to organize a field day, and you know, you have the our pals leading, you know, stations and field day, and imagine that, you know, it's just, you know, there's a lot of opportunities and a lot of ideas that you can implement with, you know, student leadership, you know, physical activity.
I love that. And as a matter of fact, I forgot to say that I do have students run my field day stations,
Nice.
along with volunteers from the community. But yes, we'll always choose the responsible, like students that can handle it, and the ones that show those leadership skills that can run a station and be vocal. I have to admit, I was more on the shyer side when I was their age, so I understand. But I tell them they gotta, you know, they just to get in the practice of talking to the other students, talking to the adults, just explaining the rules or explaining the game. And I just, for the most part, it's been amazing. Every time we've done that, it's just been I'm glad you mentioned that, because I just forgot about that. Just putting them in that position has been just a great experience.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
great. I mean, you know, you're already doing some, you know, great things, you know, for as far as, you know, leadership is concerned. You know, I mean, we need more kids like that, and we need more people like that for the next generation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks again for being here. This is a great conversation. I love talking to you. It was
Yeah, no
awesome.
problem.
Great meeting you. All right, so thanks again for being here today, Octavio. I really appreciate it. We'll put anything you want to link in our little show notes. If you'd like them to see the website, or I'm sorry, your YouTube channel and things like that, we could post that if you'd like. Where's the best place we could find you though? On Twitter or Facebook? What's the best thing for you?
Just on YouTube, you know, under Coach Fierros, Fierros, FIERROS. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, and I appreciate talking to you. Have a great day.
You too, David. Thank
Thank
you.
you. All right, everybody, what'd you think? He is very knowledgeable in the standards in his charter school, in just the programs he's running. And I just think we had a great conversation, and I really enjoyed getting to meet him. As a matter of fact, we set up another interview that we already recorded that will be coming out soon. Answering questions on social media about different challenges that teachers have. So be sure to check that one out as well. And as always, check out supersizephysed.com for more information and more cool stuff. You guys and girls are awesome from PE Nation. Here is a new beat for you. Take care.